Hello and welcome to the first episode. This is a pilot of a podcast. Don't worry, there's nothing wrong with your sets. Do not adjust your YouTube because there's no video.
It is all right. Don't be alarmed.
It's just audio, and I am Simon.
I'm Dan.
And this is a project which we had an idea for. We think it's going to be called the Wikicast or something like that.
Yeah.
The point of this is it's going to be a podcast where we go onto Wikipedia and click the random article button. Mm-hmm. And then we just ramble. It's like a guided ramble through
a very loosely, poorly guided ramble. Like, maybe we'll stick to a theme.
It's like a tour guide with like Alzheimer's.
Exactly.
He's taking you through a very interesting city. Yeah. It's like, I got married here, I think.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure where we are.
It goes to the ring. Oh, yes, I was married. Oh, good. We're starting as we mean to go on.
Brilliant.
So, we're going to go on a random article and then talk about it. And this week, we are going to be talking about...
Drumroll.
The 1980 Congoleum classic, Doubles.
Right. My favourite. Okay. All right. Sell me.
I have literally no idea what this is. This is a very complicated article. It's obviously a sporting event with, a table. You know how, like, the draw in Wimbledon, it goes down to...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I know in the first round...
Like flowchart-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The defending... Okay, so Jean Meyer and Sandy Meyer were the defending champions. This hasn't specified what the sport is.
Right. Have we got any pictures?
No. This is the other thing I should point out, dear viewer, is that Dan isn't seeing this article.
I have no idea what's going on.
I'm having to describe this.
Much like you, dear viewers, I am also in the dark. We are recording this in the dark. We should have.
Oh yeah, all the lights have gone off.
Pitch black.
We just thought that we'd do this in the. Right. It's a tennis tournament.
Okay.
I cheated because the 1980.
Oh well, so your analogy of Wimbledon.
Yeah, perfect.
Was unknowingly correct.
Like so many things in life, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
So the 1980 Congoleum Classic has its own wiki article, separate from the doubles part.
Okay.
Funnily enough, this is actually perfect for us because we used to play doubles tennis.
This is true.
Well, I say we used to. That implies that we were like...
Also a degree of proficiency.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But not... we haven't been in ages.
Yeah, we should totally go. I was saying this, that we should definitely do a video about like the beer mile and have loads of different camera angles and have commentary on it.
Yes.
Yeah. We were terrible.
Oh, yeah. Amazingly. Just awful. But I don't think you could have knocked our enthusiasm. And to be fair, we weren't doing it for a particularly long time. But there was a definite increase in our skill.
Yeah, our skill definitely went up.
Yeah.
I mean, we do need to find another team as bad as us if we want to do doubles.
Which might be hard, because we are spectacularly poor.
If we maybe blindfold two people who actually know how to play tennis.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Yeah.
Because part of the problem was we didn't really know how to play. It was like, which way do we serve? Like, which diagonal do
or
we
do? We'd both be so into the actual game itself, we'd suddenly stop and be like, wait, what's the score?
I don't know.
Hang on, what's going on? Should we just say it's... And then, you know, like...
Deuce? Yeah, all right, juice. Yeah, all right. I mean, I'm just glad that we didn't do it recently, because it was when we were recording this just a couple of days ago, we had like a proper heat wave in the UK.
Oh my gosh.
And it was warm in those courts to
Mental,
begin with.
Yeah.
But recently, I mean, we went to the beach on one of the hottest days of the year and we were dying.
It was very hot, yeah.
I mean, you lived in Australia and you have better tolerance for heat than I do.
It was surprising. I remember when I first... The first week that I'd moved into Australia, if you like, I was there. We were in kind of like rented temporary accommodation before we kind of sorted out, you know, school and all of that good stuff. It was 47 degrees.
Oh!
For that week. And we didn't have, like, obviously there was air conditioning, but pools almost are a kind of a staple garden accessory in Australia. It's not kind of a luxury thing. You just have one because whether it's kind of built in or just an inflatable one or whatever, just so you can escape the heat. We didn't have that at that stage, and it was just ridiculously hot. And I remember actually what made me think of it was when you were talking about that country that was it 53 degrees
in Iran recently. Yes, it went to 53 degrees Celsius,
and you could see the markings on the road. It looked
melted.
Melted. Yeah, it looked like some weird Dali kind of, you know, painting.
The persistence of memories? Is that what that one's called? The watches?
The melting clocks.
Yeah. I think that's the persistence of time or memories.
I think
so. Sorry, we've got our fact-checking team is currently looking that one up. But, I mean, you would have had air conditioning there, right? Because that was one of the main problems with the UK. It's like, it's the classic thing in the UK of as soon as we get particularly cold, particularly warm, the whole country falls apart. And it's not because that, like, we are any squishier or less tough than other countries. We literally don't have the infrastructure to do it.
No, it's crazy.
No homes have air conditioning.
I was listening, no, I can't remember. Oh, I think it was, I was watching a YouTube video, funnily enough.
That's what we mostly do.
Yeah, they were talking about how so many Americans were surprised at the fact that while we have central heating, we don't have air conditioning, whereas in America, that's just, it comes as standard, kind of regardless of where you are, it's just built there. Which I suppose raises a good point, because, I mean, certainly most of the buildings we're living on aren't so old that they wouldn't have been put in. It was just a, I guess, a choice, wasn't it,
well,
really?
Well, I mean, the other thing is, we're comparing it to America, and oh, I can't remember the statistic. I think you're never more than 53 miles from the sea in the UK. And the sea has a huge influence on the variability in your local climate.
Mm.
You know, but the difference between the hottest part of the year and the coldest part of the year is basically determined by how far from the sea you are.
Right.
Because the sea takes so long to warm up that it's warmest in winter.
Yeah.
So in America, in the middle of America, you're going to have huge, you know, discrepancy. Sorry, a huge range between summer and winter. Whereas in the UK, I mean, 30 degrees Celsius is like the maximum you'd see.
Yeah.
And then the minimum, minus five.
Yeah.
It's not that big a range. I mean, if you look at it like Siberia, where it goes from like 30 or 40 degrees sometimes, I think, to Celsius to minus 30 degrees. It's,
I suppose that's why living in Melbourne, I was so lucky in that
it's close to the sea.
It's, well, A, close to the sea, and kind of B, similar in terms of its range of temperatures to a European climate. Mm. You know, if you were living in somewhere like Darwin or northern Queensland, it's just ridiculously hot all the time.
Well, there's that middle bit that nobody lives in, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, what, near, like, Uluru and Alice Springs? And,
is it the Great Sandy Desert? I mean, that sounds right.
Sounds right. I mean, that's certainly, that's very descriptive, and it's pretty much spot on. It does get stupidly hot there.
So going back to the 1980 Conga Liam classic Doubles.
Oh, yeah,
Doubles,
right.
That's
all
we're here for.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I just only just read this article is quite short on details but long on diagrams. Only the first round of the tournament was played due to rain. So I guess it's not that big a deal, you know, they just rolled over into next year. You can't imagine like the World Cup,
yeah,
like they get to the final and it's like, ah, it's been cancelled due to rain, we'll have to wait another 4 years. Just like, because that happened to me when I did my first rowing regatta in Oxford. Mm. We trained all Michaelmas term. So for like 6 weeks of really quite intense training. And then we got to it and we did one race, which we won. And then the rest of the regatta was called off due to rain. And it was like, they didn't tell us. Well, maybe it's because I was an idiot back then, but I didn't realise that was an option.
What,
yeah, thanks,
mean?
Mate. I didn't realise that was an option. That, like, that was a thing that could happen. It was like, oh, so we're going to do this, right?
Yeah.
I was like, no, you're done.
Yeah.
Oh, all that training, we did one race. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. Just as well we won, it would have been really bad.
So tennis, it's like tennis. So it is tennis.
It is, yeah. It's,
oh, it
not
is
like
tennis.
Tennis. Well, I suppose it is like
literally tennis.
Yeah,
but it doesn't have tennis
Liam
in the name.
Just doing a little bit more research.
It's interesting that it's about tennis. And in which country of origin was this?
This is in California. So
oh, right, okay. So quite considerably further away from the origin of the game, which would have, of course, as we all know, be 12th century northern France, where a ball was struck with the palm of the hand. I think it was actually Louis the X of France.
Louis.
The car was going so well. It was a seamless transition.
It was like listening to Stephen Fry at a dinner party.
Oh, so it was. He was a keen player of... Oh, here we go, ladies and gents. Ready for Dan talking French. Jeu de pomme.
Jeu de pomme.
Yeah.
Like,
game of the palm.
Oh, okay. I thought pomme was apple.
P-A-U-M-E.
Oh, okay. Not P-O-M-M-E.
No, sadly not. Although, if they wanted to use an apple, they would be using a pomme for the palm.
The pom-pom.
If you're French, write into us on a postcard. Yeah. So that was, apparently that's where they believe it came from.
It was an English
tennis.
Yeah, yeah. That's lawn tennis, though, right?
I suppose.
Oh, yeah. And there was also there's royal tennis, isn't there? And there was a court construct. There's one of those things where you can only play it in one place because there's only one court that conforms to the standards.
See, I think what you're thinking of, lawn tennis, or the English version of the game of tennis, the one that's most popular now across the world, actually originated from a game called pelota.
Oh, yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, which was played on a croquet lawn in Birmingham, England, in 1859, I believe, is when it started, or around that time. So that's where we kind of know the one originally. But it wasn't until the 16th century that rackets came into use. So it was palms right the way from the 12th century.
Well, in England, happy slapping certainly. The game.
Yeah, exactly. Almost kind of like a really, really budget swing ball.
Yeah.
No rackets, just hands and, you know.
Like... I think that rackets would have been invented. Like, they're not a difficult thing to invent.
No.
I mean, it's an extension. It's just, what if we made your hand bigger and springy? Like, how did that take humanity until the 19th century to develop that? Although is it in Spain where, is it Jialai? Something like that? There's like, it's another racket sport, but instead of it being like a racket, it's almost like the shape of a boomerang. And it's, I'm describing this really badly. I'm not refusing to look this up and cheat. But it's like, yeah, the shape of a boomerang, and it's been hollowed out like a trencher or something, and you can catch the ball in it and then you like fling it against a wall. It's a bit, it's like squash.
Oh, right.
In that sense. Oh, I'm going to have to Google this. Jai Alai?
A similar flinging motion to something like lacrosse.
Yeah.
But more kind of handheld and...
Okay, yeah. Did you say that it was inspired by Pelota?
Yes, I did.
Right, this is a variant. The Jai Alai, I was right, is a sport involving a ball being bounced off a wall space and is a variation of Basque Pelota. Mm. And that was only termed in 1875. Oh, no, it was first played in the 14th century. Okay, so people did think of it before.
Right.
Because I remember this, because it's the fastest sport in the world.
Really?
The ball travels... up to, what's the record? It travels up to 300 kilometres per hour.
Crikey.
When you think about the speed of service at Wimbledon, again, going back to tennis, like that's only like 100, 120 at most kilometres an hour.
Mm.
One of those games I'd probably love to see played.
Yeah.
I mean, Jai Alai, I have seen tennis played.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that kind of niche.
What is tennis?
Because, well, of course, it's not long until... Wimbledon.
Yeah, and Murray crashed out of Queens, which is the one just before, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those sports that I do like watching. It's very easy just to sort of lose yourself, because it's almost like American football in the sense that, you know, the plays are quite short. Like, each individual game doesn't take very long of your attention.
Mm.
Whereas, obviously, like, the matches can be... Well, there's literally no limit.
Yeah, go on forever.
I suppose also like American football. As we found when we watched the Super Bowl. That was the first time you'd seen American
football,
wasn't it?
It was. I really thoroughly enjoyed it, actually. I was looking up. I'm fairly sure there are other points in the year. So we're quite fortunate, we should say. Exeter Uni has a really great student guild kind of run bar. And that's where we went to watch the Super Bowl. And usually on different nights throughout the week, there'll be a different kind of sport focused on. And I know that certainly in my first year, I remember seeing... kind of things online or just posters up and about saying like, oh, if you want to come watch the game, blah, blah, blah. But it was really good. I think the reason I enjoyed it so much is because it's the perfect spectator sport in that you go through periods of really quite intense, oh, there's a lot happening and it's really exciting. Oh, but then there's nothing. Then you've got like a good almost 2 minutes to kind of sit back and chat and drink. And
it's the ideal beer drinking sport.
Oh, it was brilliant.
And it helped the fact that there were that couple who came and sat next to us, because the ram was rammed.
Yeah,
the student pub was so full. And well, this couple,
that's good. That's really good, mate.
This couple sat down next to us, and he said to me after, like, the guy went for a pee, I think he might have done coke. And I was like, really? It came back, and his pupils were like, wide open.
Well, mate, it's like out of an anime.
Literally.
Yeah, like, so, oh, God.
They were great
both really nice, though, weren't they?
Yeah.
Really, really, really nice dudes. Even if they were completely smacked off their
faces.
They
really were smacked off their tits. Both of them, I think. I feel like we have done the 1980 Congoleum Classic. Also, this tournament confuses me, by the way, because it is part of a Grand Prix, which I thought was exclusive to motor racing.
Yeah.
But apparently, it was the fifth edition of the Indian Wells Masters and part of the 1980 Volvo Grand Prix.
Right.
Okay. So the Grand Prix in tennis incorporated... Maybe it still goes on? Oh, yeah. It was the precursor to the ATP Tour. So it's basically all the big tournaments in the year.
Mm.
Right. I'm learning. But yeah, the fact that it's the Volvo Grand Prix does make it sound like it's like the decathlon, but like the F1 now has a tennis round and a rock climbing round.
So I'm just looking at there's a page for the term Grand Prix. The number of categories it spans is insane. So obviously races.
Yeah.
So you've got your kind of, you know, like
the
F1.
Caucasians.
Okay, of course. Yeah. Snooker.
Right.
Tennis, as you've said. Equestrian. Combat sports.
Oh, wow.
Chess. And then, of course, Thames. Thames? Television video games, also known as Thames.
Of course, Thames.
Combat sports.
Please tell me that that's a different sport in every, like, location. It's like, and we're in Toronto doing jiu-jitsu.
I don't know about that, but there is, one of them is titled the Strike Force Grand Prix.
Oh!
Which sounds, and it's described as a competition run by Strike Force. I think I have to click. I think we have
click
to see
it,
what
go
it is.
For it.
Right, so Strike Force was an American mixed martial arts and kickboxing organization based in San Jose, California. Crikey.
What was its name again?
Strike Force.
Strike Force.
Strike Force. In Cinemas Friday. This was founded in 1985. Oh, and it's been, I think
it's part
been
of the MMA now.
Yeah, 2006. It was made part of the MMA.
Oh, that's so cool.
Look at that. Oh, there we go.
Dan is actually a prize MMA fighter.
I am. Actually, this is something that doesn't happen. I took a year out between coming to uni and absolutely demolished. It was an interesting time.
His stature, you wouldn't think it, but
no.
You know.
I was the hummingbird.
Yeah.
People would
float like a hummingbird, sting like a hummingbird.
Like a hummingbird, yeah. Didn't really sting much, funnily enough.
I'm imagining you like a Victorian boxer.
Just yeah.
Like, come on then, come on. And then like jabbing.
I don't think you've seen me get crossed. There's no imagining to be done. I usually start by...
You just imagine they spilled your tea.
I start writing an angry letter. And if not, I have to get the handkerchief out and throw it on the floor and be like, right then, Sonny.
Challenge you to a duel.
I'll give you what for. Oh god, it would be even funnier if I was kidding.
That's
literally
thing.
What I'm like.
Oh dear listener.
Madness.
Okay, I feel like we've done this tournament justice. This tournament that never went past the first round. But we've learned a lot today.
We've learned so much. What have we learned today, Simon? We've learned the origins of tennis in northern France in the 14th century.
And that Jai has played at the similar time and is the fastest sport in the world.
Yes.
That's Strikeforce.
Strikeforce. The Grand Prix for Strikeforce is amazing.
Yeah,
it just sounds fascinating.
That's the best sporting name I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And we've learned about the fact that Grand Prix is for other things.
Oh,
just
for so many things, yeah. Equestrian doesn't seem right. I guess it's kind of an element of race. Well, not really, because that's horse racing, not equestrian.
I definitely prefer the idea of horse rating.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good horse he's got right
I
there.
I like that horse. I think that's quite a nice horse.
We're both immediately Irish because we're talking about horses.
It's not allowed, is it? It's
no.
Really not okay.
How long until this gets pulled down by one or more?
Well, with the DUP coalition.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're going to be on it.
This is the resistance. This is like the resistance radio in Harry Potter.
Oh, God, yeah.
What was it? The lightning has struck.
Yeah, lightning has struck.
So for
Potter
those
watch.
Of you who don't know, Dan is possibly the biggest Harry Potter fan in the world.
I don't think there's any possibility about it. Yeah. I am the biggest fan.
The number of times I've come home and you're just listening to the audiobooks again.
Oh yeah, again and again. Or like Pottermore the other day.
Oh yeah, you literally said, oh here, get down the rabbit hole I go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like 2 hours of time.
A bag shot going through a wiki trail.
Oh, I love it. It's brilliant.
Okay, well, I think that's probably enough silliness for one episode.
I think so.
Do let us know what you thought of this format and if you enjoyed it. Because mm-hmm. if this does well, we would love to do this every week.
Yeah, definitely.
And do this on a different random article and let the RNGesus determine what we talk about.
Yeah.
And, comment with what you like, maybe what you didn't like. And if you have a name suggestion for us, because Wikicast is very much a placeholder.
Yeah.
And we would love to roll this out onto, you know, Podbean, iTunes, all the podcasting services, if you'd like to hear it. So, comment with your feedback, leave us a like if you enjoyed it, and you won't see us next time, but
no.
You will
hear
us
next
time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.